Mission Hospital is leading the way in providing you with the most advanced diagnostic care in the world, part of the St. Joseph Health System. And now it's time for Mission Radio. Here's Melanie Cole.
End-of-life conversations are always difficult to discuss with loved ones and healthcare providers. My guest is nurse coordinator of Mission Hospital's palliative care program, Jody Phelps. Welcome to the show, Jody. End-of-life conversations. Some people find these easier to discuss than others, but how do you help patients and their families come to terms with these conversations, get this conversation started, and kind of decide the direction that they're going to go?
Hi, Melanie. End-of-life conversations really should be happening with all patients all the time, but they sure don't, and it's hard. It's hard to take the time to do them. We, as a palliative care team here at the hospital, we bring these conversations up usually on the first visit with the family. What is their understanding of their disease? What is the family's understanding of it? What are their desires? And what are their end-of-life wishes? And we actually bring these up with people even if they're not even possibly near end-of-life. It is just the earlier you bring them up, it frees people, honestly, and it frees the healthcare providers that those conversations are taking place.
So it kind of releases some of the tension in the air about it. You ask them to, if they understand their disease, the nature of their disease, their treatments. Then what do the end of life conversations entail? What they want to happen if they should die? Do they want hospice care? Is it along those lines?
It is, and more. It's also about the process, depending on where they are in their disease progression. What does that look like for them? What is the most important, even down to the level of what are the most important activities that they want to continue to do? Where do they want to be if they, and certainly, you know, who would they want to speak for them if some change had happened and they weren't able to speak for themselves? But it's more just opening those conversations up, not as much between the patient and the healthcare provider, though that's incredibly important. But what's interesting is to watch those conversations and how the patient and family and the loved ones that are surrounding them, how they play into that decision, those decisions, and how they really help the conversations continue.
So offer some tips on for making these conversations a little easier for both patients and their families. Some families really are very close-lipped about it. How do you start the conversation? Give us some great advice.
Well, I think one thing I wouldn't advise is what people do is say, okay, we're going to have that talk. And a lot of stress kind of goes into it. And, you know, it's probably best done, and certainly right now if there are still family gatherings going on when the listeners hear this, it's a beautiful time when people are together to just, sometimes the conversation is best started by saying, you know, a friend of mine at work had a mom who died and they didn't understand what the mom had wanted, and or using other examples to just say, I was wondering what you guys thought about that, and including the whole family in those conversations, not just the one person who may have a known serious illness. But I don't know if that, I think that helps people.
Okay, so give us another one for people that are really uncomfortable with this discussion.
Well, you could ask them, we certainly recommend writing things down because that's the best, so that somebody could write down, say they're talking to their husband or their brother, just asking them what, you know, if you did get seriously ill and you were near the end of life, where would you want to be? Would you want to be in the hospital? Would you want to be home? That's a real opener for the conversation. Because, you know, 70 to 80% of people wish to die at home. That is incredibly important to them. Yet today, 70 to 80% of people are dying in the hospital. So where you'd want to die, no matter what age you are, just asking that question and understanding what's important to people.
Where does denial fit into this picture? Because in some families or with some patients, or not even Jody, the patient themselves, maybe they've already accepted their disease and accepted what may or may not be their diagnosis and prognosis, but the family in denial, oh, no, no, you can beat this. You can get through this. We don't need to have that discussion right now.
Oh, that happens. It happens so much. And you see the patients really wanting to protect the family, even the most seriously ill. That patient, if they feel like the family's not ready either, they do a lot of protecting up till the very end. And I think that's an area with the palliative care program we do not just address the patient for that exact reason. We have got to come along the people that they love to bring them up to speed on what the disease is, their understanding of it, their fears and concerns. And that's where spiritual care really plays a big role with many patients and families. So we try to address that when we see it in the hospital. At home, we know that still happens.
Do you see it generally? They are. And do you see it generally turn around with that extra spiritual care or with a little bit of extra support from you and your team in maybe the spouse or the, you know, loved one or anybody saying, well, they're going to beat this. This is, you know, and you kind of explain it. Do you see that turnaround? And then it can actually be kind of a really nice thing.
We see it. I wouldn't say 100% of the time, but I would say 90% of the time we see just a real understanding and a freedom. I mean, that's the word I would say in people's faces when they're leaving. Even if they have to go home, say the diagnosis is, you know, it's more terminal and more acute and they're going to go home on hospice, but we still care for them as a palliative care team, they're going home free and ready and knowing that those conversations took place and that, you know, that their mom, what she wanted most of all was to take a bubble bath and go to one more soccer game. And when you know those things, you can make them happen. And that's what's freeing.
It is freeing. And I like that you use that word because I've been there myself a number of times and had these discussions with my loved ones a number of times, so I know that they can be a real cathartic way to deal with a disease. So, you know, give us some of your best advice on these end-of-life conversations, ways to begin them, and really what you do at Mission Hospital in the palliative care program to help families gather this together and come to terms with what their disease is.
Well, we certainly ask them if they're comfortable, first of all. Are they comfortable? We share that we want to have this conversation. We think that it's time, and we want them to be comfortable. We want the right people to be there. And so that gets them thinking about who else besides just maybe the immediate family. We really want to get their special people together. We want it to be at the right time. And all these things work at home as well. You want the right people. You want people to be comfortable. You want it to be at the right time and not pressed or, you know, or stressed. And then just being able to break the ice and asking, doing more listening, saying, you know, what do you think if this were the last phase of your life? And again, for some people it is. What's most important to you? What would you want this to look like? And getting the whole group together, saying, if we really thought you had, whether you had 5 years or 5 minutes, how do you want to spend that? Who do you want to be around? What would you like to be surrounding you? I mean, those are very tangible things that people can make happen. And that's what I would recommend.
And this is a little bit different, isn't it, than, you know, filling out the forms at the hospital and letting them know what you want as far as care or, you know, extreme measures, that sort of thing.
Oh, this is very, very different. Although it does, you know, when you come into the hospital, unless you speak otherwise, unless you make a different decision, then everybody is what's called a full code status. That means everything possible with medical advancements would be done to keep that person alive. And so these family conversations will change as people come into the hospital and have already made decisions that they don't, in fact, want everything. They want this thing only.
So that helps with that advanced directive that they have to fill out. And thank you so much, Jody Phelps. I really applaud the wonderful work that you do at Mission Hospital. She's nurse coordinator of Mission Hospital's palliative care program. You're listening to Mission Radio. For more information, you can go to missionforhealth.com. That's mission, the number 4, health.com. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks for listening.